The right to be forgotten is an almost embarrassingly flawed law that fails to see the root of the problem it claims to be fixing, provides little to no guidance to those who are asked to follow it, and invites bias and discrimination at every turn. The EU, proud founder of the concept, has already faced significant issues with it. Their version of the law requires search engines to erase the link to the information that is being quote-unquote removed, and not the information itself, so there are a lot of ways around it. One of these ways is that the law can only be enforced in the EU, so the link is still out there. Anyone using the search engine in America, or anywhere outside the EU for that matter, could still access the content. It's like putting a blank piece of paper over a document you don't want to have found. Anyone who knows it's there is going to get to it. It's just not the first thing they see when they walk in the room. Even if we put that tiny flaw aside, however, a right to be forgotten law could never be adopted in the US because of an obscure little piece of legislature known as the First Amendment, which guarantees citizens the right to free speech and free press. I don't know, maybe you've heard of it? This isn't my favorite argument against it, but because of the way our legal system works, it has to be noted that there is basically a stonewall between us and a right to be forgotten law. What I really want to focus on in my argument today, however, is the risk for discrimination the law causes. Because it puts a lot of pressure on private entities to make big decisions that affect the rest of a person's life, and these entities, whether as large as Google or as small as a town newspaper, don't have the same responsibilities to diversity and fairness as a court does. This means that the decisions being made about who gets to be forgotten and who doesn't are likely to be unfairly influenced by the racial and socioeconomic backgrounds of the elite few who are in positions to make decisions about erasure. Finally, the true issue we are discussing today is how prolific information stored on the internet has become. Almost everything ends up there, so sometimes it feels like one wrong move could turn the whole world against you, or at least have significant impact on your future. So what we really need to be putting our time and energy into is not what gets removed from the internet, but what gets put there in the first place as a result of clickbait culture. In this sense, a right to be forgotten law is really just a distraction from the issues we should really need to be facing.
In 2014, a Spanish man named Mario Gonzalez sued Google Spain for displaying the newspaper articles announcing a foreclosure auction at his residence from 1998 every time someone searched his name on the internet. The Court of Justice of the European Union decided in favor of Gonzalez, who argued that since the foreclosure was fully resolved, it was unfair and irrelevant to associate the event with his name every time someone conducted a Google search of him. This ruling effectively established the right to be forgotten in Europe, a legal tool that should be introduced across the Atlantic. In an age where personal data and information is accessible by both individual and corporate interests through quick internet searches, the right to be forgotten is the legislative tool we need to strike the right balance between individual privacy and freedom of speech. Article 17 of the General Data Protection Regulation of the European Union allows individuals such as yourself to have adverse data blocked from the internet, as well as requiring search engines to remove irrelevant or outdated information from the search results of an individual. This means that harmful photos, news articles, or any other information about yourself can be removed from the internet under the right circumstances. The right to be forgotten ensures that individuals are protected from being held hostage to antiquated search results that can harm someone's reputation. In the past, we all benefited from privacy by obscurity, which meant that mistakes from someone's past fell to the wayside as time went on. Thanks to 21st century technology, however, an individual can be perpetually judged for minor infractions committed in their past. For example, an adult in today's world could fail to get a job offer because an employer has the ability to find a newspaper article detailing an alcohol or drug-related offense from their youth. The right to be forgotten ensures that society provides everyone with a second chance from potential mistakes made in their past.
One of the biggest arguments over if the right to be forgotten should be adopted is whether the right to privacy or the right to free speech is more important. How does the right to be forgotten affect free speech? Is protecting free speech more important than protecting one's right to privacy?
So the discussion around the First Amendment in regards to the right to be forgotten is kind of roundabout. A right to be forgotten law doesn't really affect a person's ability to say, write, or publish something. It affects how long it stays around, because the right to be forgotten is a retroactive law. You can't prohibit media from referencing you, but you can go in after something is published and ask for it to be removed and do so on legal grounds. Honestly, I don't think that using the First Amendment as an argument against the right to be forgotten laws gets to the heart of the problem. What it does do is make a really strong legal argument because of America's great allegiance to free speech. What's really at the core of this, though, is a question of fair judgment. The EU's right to be forgotten is nothing if not ambiguous. Just listen to the language. In order for a law to apply, information must be inadequate, irrelevant or no longer relevant, or excessive. Irrelevant? No longer relevant? Who gets to judge that, and honestly, who can judge that? There's no possible way to know what information about a person's past may one day be relevant or currently is in some context to some person. This is what brings us to what I see as the greatest issue with the laws. What ends up happening is that companies, such as Google, create an internal panel to sift through cases and decide if they qualify for removal under the Right to Be Forgotten law. There are no rules governing how these panels are chosen, so unlike a jury, which has to be made up of a randomly selected group of your peers and adjusted to eliminate bias where possible, the people deciding the fate of your data are, for all intensive purposes, self-selected. There are no rules governing dissent for these panels, so even if one or two or even half the members disagree with the decision, there's nothing stopping them from implementing one decision or another. Sure, if you're dissatisfied with the decision you receive, you could then take it to court, but how many people have the time and resources for that? Need I go into the multitudinous ways this system invites bias and discrimination?
The right to be forgotten fully complies with the First Amendment. This is because it is a retroactive law and does not prohibit anyone, including journalists or police logs, for example, to publish any accurate information regarding an individual. Instead, it calls for antiquated data that is irrelevant and can adversely affect someone's ability to conduct a livelihood or tarnishes their reputation to be erased. The vast majority of Americans even support the right to have some personal information removed from the internet. According to a survey conducted by the Pew Research Center in 2019, 74% of American adults say that it is important to keep things about themselves from being searchable online. And 85% of Americans believe that all Americans should have the right to have potentially embarrassing photos and videos removed from public online search results. This overwhelming majority clearly displays that Americans are far more concerned about their privacy, something that the right to be forgotten will provide them with online, over any potential concerns about the freedom of speech.
So, the right to be forgotten, as mentioned previously, only applies in the EU. Today, we're seeing many ways in which people's personal but very public information affects their career, their education, and their relationships. With just a click of a button, employers, college admission committees, and potential dates are able to see exactly what you've been up to, whether it be good or bad, accurate or inaccurate. In this respect, why hasn't the US adopted the right to be forgotten? Should they?
So the reason the U.S. hasn't adopted a similar policy, despite Pew polls showing that a majority of Americans support something of the sort, is pretty simple. It comes down to America's favorite legal sword and shield against all things government and some things not, the First Amendment. I mentioned this earlier, of course, so I won't go into it again, but legally it's almost impossible for the U.S. to have a law like the EU's. And yes, it has been attempted. In 2017, New York Democrats tried to pass a bill mimicking the right to be forgotten, but it didn't get much support and subsequently failed. If something like this were to start appearing in the US, though, it would likely be on the state rather than the federal level. Another thing to think about when taking a stance on this issue is what kind of data might be exempt from the law. The Pew study that I referenced earlier shows a great deal of support, 87%, for the right to have potentially embarrassing photos or videos of oneself removed. 79% of Americans support being able to erase one's financial history, and 64% are for allowing the removal of medical data collected by a health provider. But when it comes to the erasure of data collected by law enforcement, that's where support drops off. Only 36% of Americans support removing information such as mugshots and criminal records from the web. On the surface, that makes a lot of sense, but this is why I think America hasn't really thought this through at all. If you haven't noticed, we're in the middle of a social justice crisis in this country. A crisis that is very much caused and perpetuated by a broken justice system that not only disproportionately targets and punishes minorities, but was literally created to do so. The case under which I would be most inclined to support a right to be forgotten law in America would be if it were to allow nonviolent, non-sexual criminal histories to be erased. This is because if we are truly committed to creating a more just society and a more level playing field for Black people in America, we need to make every effort to practice restorative justice and get previously incarcerated people back into the workforce. This is where a right to be forgotten law, if very carefully implemented, could be a really positive thing for America. But as the Pew poll shows, we are not quite there yet.
The primary reason that the right to be forgotten must be adopted in the U.S. is because it benefits individuals and society as a whole by providing everyone with second chances by, for example, keeping minor infractions from someone's past out of the eyes of employers and educational institutions. This was a concept that every adult before the age of internet benefited from. Think about your parents, your aunts, uncles, or grandparents who perhaps made a mistake in high school and were charged with a minor offense. Are they not upstanding citizens of society today? Do they not contribute positively to this nation's workforce? This is because they benefited by privacy by obscurity, a phenomenon that has been rendered all but extinct by Google, this all-knowing tool that allows employers and educational institutions to quickly find all of the mistakes from a person's past. Here's a hypothetical situation. A teenager is arrested for driving under the influence, or perhaps for the possession of narcotics. At their arraignment, they file a continuance without finding, which means that as long as the defendant fulfills certain program rehabilitation obligations and pays the fines as set by the judge, the defendant will not have a criminal record. This is a societal concept that we invented to provide people in their youth with a second chance so that a mistake as a teenager doesn't adversely affect future opportunities. This is because America believes in second chances. But when applying for their first job, an employer Googles their name and finds a news article online detailing an event that was supposed to be hidden from them. The teenager misses out on the employment opportunity. This is where the right to be forgotten steps in, helping to make sure that we aren't held hostage to our mistakes in the past. Today, employers can find court blogs and police logs, which hold each individual society hostage to their past. This stifles potential labor opportunities within our workforce by rendering the concept of second chances and personal growth all but extinct, which greatly harms our entire society.
Some people believe that search engines should have no say in deciding whether someone's personal information can be taken off the internet. Who do you believe should, on a case-by-case basis, decide whether the right to be forgotten should be applicable? Private corporations like Google, or just the courts? Or maybe a possible combination of the two?
I do think it needs to be a combination of the two, because there are certainly instances in which there are legal grounds for information to be removed from the internet without a right to be forgotten law. Think slander or revenge porn. And there needs to be opportunity for people to go to the courts with issues like that. However, in most cases, especially those involving a journalistic organization, the power really does need to be internal. In the journalism community, there's an idea that grounds a lot of what newsrooms do and how they make decisions, which is the principle that what is published is the first draft of history, and that it must be accurate and must not be tampered with unless to make it more accurate. If there was an outside force that could reach in and erase anything at any given time, that would be a huge issue. And that goes back to the First Amendment and the right to free press as well, but we won't get back into that now. Instead, I want to bring in a bit of a case study that was highlighted in an episode of the podcast Radiolab called, wait for it, Right to be Forgotten. In the episode, reporter Molly Webster visits a newsroom in Cleveland, Ohio, where the digital newspaper Cleveland.com has created their own system for dealing with requests for erasure. Their newsroom was getting a lot of requests from people asking to have old articles taken down or their names removed. So they formed a 7-person editorial panel that met once per month to review cases and accept or reject the requests. They used the principle that if the harm an article caused a person outweighed the value of having the information publicly available, then it would be removed. Otherwise, it stayed. Cases of corruption and sexual or violent crimes were standout and would be much less likely to be removed. One of the cases they review during Molly's visit is a situation in which a police officer lied on his timesheet for years and collected thousands of dollars for hours he didn't work. After a few minutes of disagreeing over whether this is a case of petty theft or corruption, someone brings up Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old boy who was killed by police when he was seen holding a toy gun. The cop who killed Tamir Rice had previously been deemed unfit to serve by the last police force he worked for, but because it had never been published online and his new employer didn't dig through his records, he was re-employed. Sure, this wasn't a case of deleted material, but it easily could have been. That was what the Cleveland.com panel realized that day as they decided how to rewrite history. This is the type of situation that really shows the dangers of a right-to-be-forgotten law. Because while many of us might be a bit embarrassed about some of the information that is available about us, most people wouldn't go through the trouble of having something removed unless it is really horrible. Should we really be forgetting the most reprehensible deeds of those around us?
Congress needs to enact legislation to establish the right to be forgotten under similar circumstances to Article 17 of the EU's General Data Protection Regulation. If the implementation of the right to be forgotten is upheld on the grounds that it is seemingly confusing as to who referees the rules, I would point to the European Union, who has successfully adopted and is currently using this rule. If they figured it out, why can't we? In Europe, this allows for individuals to request corporations to remove the data when the data is no longer needed for their original processing purpose, the data subject has withdrawn their consent and there is no other legal ground for processing, the data subject has objected and there are no overriding legitimate grounds for the processing, or erasure is required to fulfill a statutory obligation. By enacting a federal law allowing for the right to be forgotten to be established throughout the whole nation, individuals can ensure that the status of the availability of their data will be consistent across state lines. This is important, for example, when seeking employment in another state or perhaps applying to college out of state. If private corporations object to a request to remove an individual's data, the courts can be the determining body, just like in any other piece of legislation, on whether or not that request is in compliance with a law passed by Congress.
To end this debate, I want to ask whether either of you believe it's possible to balance an individual's right to privacy with the public's right to accurate information.
I do absolutely think that there is a balance, and I think that there are great examples of this being done by media organizations that are truly committed to standards of fairness and who have no interest in operating in tabloid fashion. As a journalism student, I have studied the Society of Professional Journalists' Code of Ethics, NPR's Ethics Handbook, and other similar guides that well-versed journalists and editors should be using to determine what gets published in the first place. Media organizations need to commit to these standards and hold each other accountable when they are breached, and viewers need to use their consumer power to shun outlets that violate them. Peer pressure and consumer pressure are two of the most powerful forces in our society. What gets published and spread is what we, as consumers, want to see. Sure, a right to be forgotten law might have some janitorial value, but what truly needs to change is the online culture and our behavior toward lurid content. That can't be amended by a law, and to attempt to do so would be to create a multitude of new concerns around security, accountability, and freedom. If we truly believe that our past misdeeds should be void after a certain amount of time, we should be looking at our anti-discrimination laws and adding clauses that state how long an employer or lender can hold something against an applicant. A right to be forgotten law is lazy policymaking. It is slapping a band-aid haphazardly on an already infected wound and saying, "There. Now it never happened and will never happen again." Solutions to the issues it pretends to address lie in societal change and a deep, reflective look at the online world we've created and allowed to run rampant.
The right to be forgotten is a tool that will restore certain de facto privacy rights that modern technology such as the internet has stripped from each individual. For example, the Fair Credit Reporting Act requires certain adverse information from an individual's credit score to be redacted after a certain time frame. If you fail to pay your credit card bill while in college, it is illegal for this violation to appear on your credit report or to be factored into your credit score. Today, however, a bank loan officer can easily find such violations by scouring online court databases, which often include such violation reports. This undermines the FCRA's regulations intended to give young adults second chances. The same FCRA regulation allows for people who declare bankruptcy to have any bankruptcy records removed in an effort to allow individuals to, quote, start over. With a quick search of the internet, however, a bank loan officer can easily find such court records of a bankruptcy and deny you a loan or mortgage. We should be asking ourselves why these multinational corporations, such as Google, are allowed in the first place to hold control over what information is viewable online. Corporations have more data and information regarding consumers than ever before, thanks to the massive abundance of information available on the internet. Let's fight back and reaffirm the American values of privacy and individual freedoms. The negative externalities produced from the internet that violate our rights to privacy should be closed, and the right to be forgotten provides individuals with the right tool to fight back.